Blog Talk Radio.
I'm coming back to the start, where you found me. I'm coming back to your heart. Now I surrender, take me, 'cause this is all I can bring.
Here we go, come on.
Your heartbeat for a potential.
Amen, amen. We came in on heaven through this new situation here. It's Nate Araki. He is a great group from Louisiana. I always like to play some of their music. But welcome to the Healing Light tonight, everybody. And we're going to have guest Rafael Garcia. How you doing, Rafael?
I am doing amazing, brother. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Well, I'm very excited talking about about heaven tonight and about your heavenly visits. I know you're one of the main ones that has exciting stories about heaven. You visit me a time, or there's a few of us that has, and I've talked to a few other people that has, but I think you're one of the most people that has the most amazing stories about heaven. I'm just happy to be able to get you on the show tonight.
And thank you for having me, brother.
Yeah, it's we go back to Revelations, where Revelations it talks about heaven and about the seat of God and about the angels with the heads and the wings and all this and that, and Revelations takes you to little bits and pieces of heaven. It don't take you all through it. It talks to you about where you're seated in the heavenly places. It talks about the elders that we never really heard about until Revelation is about the elders. And it just really teaches us things about heaven. And it don't really go in tremendous detail. You know, it goes into some detail, but not tremendously. But it takes a person to be there, to go there, and a lot of people don't go there until they pass on. There's only a few that's actually been there and actually got to hang out and get to see things. But as sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ, we're actually open to go there. Heaven's doors are open to all of us. We just don't know that. And it's just, meditating and dedicating yourself to the Lord, where you can get into a meditation of prayer, where you can go there. And sometimes, the Lord just, he has his own ways of pulling you there. But, Rafael, tell us how you started visiting heaven. Was it when you first started to learn about the Lord and you started having, spiritual things happen to you? How did it first start with you, man?
Well, the first time that it happened, I was 11 years old. It was it looked like it's something that it was prepared, something that was like an appointment, some sort of thing. Because I cannot tell you honestly that I was thinking about going to heaven, that I was asking God about going to heaven, not consciously at least. But the first day, the first night that it happened, it was a night. This is back in 1995. I was living in an apartment, small apartment, with my mother and my two sisters. I was 11 years old. I have a younger sister and an older sister, and I'm the one in the middle. And my mother, she would work, and, we have a routine that we follow every day. I started going to school. My sisters, would go to school too. And I remember that the first night that this happened to me was a Friday night. And it was a Friday night where I went back home. I was playing with some friends, and he got to be like, I don't know, 11 p.m. or something. And we were playing in the tennis courts of the apartment complex where we live. And then when it got late, like 11, I went home. And when I went home, my mom wasn't there and my sisters weren't there. And it was something really strange, because since I've been living in the United States, and I had, maybe a few months living in the United States, maybe 6 months, 7 months living in the United States, in the Miami, we were never alone. We were always either with my mom or with each other, my sisters. My mom would go somewhere. She would leave me, she would be with my sisters. And, my older sister was 12, so, we're not that young. But I went home and there was nobody there. And so it was strange, so I figured that they probably went somewhere and that they will be coming back soon. So I stayed up waiting for them. I was watching wrestling. I was watching, the Warrior Princess, Hercules, all these shows,
yeah.
I just killing time, you know, just waiting for them. And then it got to be like around like 1:30 in the morning, 1:30 or, you know, and they were not there in the house. So I thought that was really strange. So I said, you know, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm just going to go and I'll see them tomorrow. And so I just went to the room, and we had like this one-bedroom apartment, you know, and we had like two beds, one side to side, and we had like a drawer in the middle. And I went to my bed, and without thinking, I just went through the drawer, and I opened the drawer, and there was like a flyer, a pamphlet. And the pamphlet had like a little mountain, and it had the Lord's Prayer in it. And on the Lord's Prayer, written in Spanish. And I saw it, and I saw it, I read it, and I was like, that Lord's Prayer I had to memorize by heart. I used to say that same prayer every day in my school in Dominican Republic. Before they used to send us home, they used to make us recite the Lord's Prayer. So we would just say it from the top of our heads. I had to memorize. But something happened, like I saw that paper, I started reading it, and I read it like three times. And by the third time that I read it, I got revelation. The only way I can say that, I understood what I was talking about. It wasn't just me repeating something. I kind of like understood. I was being taught what that actually meant. And I did something that I never done before, I think. I talked to God before, but when I had that revelation, I put the pamphlet away. And I didn't pray the Lord's Prayer. I didn't pray. I didn't recite something. I talked to God as if my father was in front of me. So I said, Heavenly Father, I was talking to him like he was in front of me. I made up my mind. I was like, you know, this guy's in front of me. So I just talked to him like he was in front of me. And that's all I did. That's all I did. I talked to him like he was in front of me. I turned the lights off. I got on my bed. And then when I got in my bed, that's when I started having the experiences. You know, I started having all these physical experiences in the inside of me and in the outside of me. And that's the first time that I went to heaven. Like, basically, what started the first, you know, I had multiple things physically and inside and the outside happening at the same time. Like, one of the things was electricity going up and down my body. And the electricity had a sound to it. It would go really slow. It started really slow, and then it would get faster and faster and faster. And it had a sound that would go like broom, 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 broom. And it would just get faster and faster. And at the same time, it was like thundering inside of me, thundering, and I'm getting electrocuted, but it feels amazing. It feels good. And sparks are kind of physical sparks in the room, like physical sparks that you can actually see in the room. Like every time the thunders and the electricity would hit me, you know, it was from the inside out. And at the same time, I felt like warmth and heat and cold. And I felt like the room, things were moving, like I was moving, like I was traveling somewhere. And that everything was, like I was zigzagging, traveling. And so these things just were happening and happening and happening. And I felt like, I thought that maybe it had something to do with the way that I was sleeping, the position that I was sleeping. So I didn't want to open my eyes. I didn't want to move from the position that I was in, like physically in, because I felt like if I open my eyes, if I move, if I talk, maybe this thing is going to stop. And this thing feels so good, so amazing, that I don't want it to stop. I don't want it to ever stop. You know, so, but then, like, it just continued, and it was such a, like, static, like, ecstasy that you don't know how to explain. It's like, the best feeling in the world. You know, think about maybe the best feeling that you feel physically, multiply that times 1,000 or infinity. That's why how I was feeling. And then I just basically started like moving faster and faster and faster and faster. Physically, my body is there in the bed experiencing all this stuff. But, you know, by then my spirit, my soul is traveling, going up, 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 up this tunnel of light. Or you can just call it a tunnel of light. And it's going up, 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 sort of like an elevator type of thing, but it's not really an elevator. It just, like, there's no real words to describe how these things look, but so you can just kind of, like, have to, like, find something that's already created and it looks like an elevator, but it's not really one. But I was just going up, up really, really fast.
I was going to ask, you didn't have an elevator music, did you?
Come again?
I was going to ask, you didn't have an elevator music, did you?
No, no. I just went up. I just started going up, up,
okay.
up. And then when I got to the place, I got to like a floor. It was like a floor. It opened up, and I just walked out, and I'm there. And I didn't have any, you know, for me it was just a place. Like I didn't have that much knowledge on any subject of heaven or going to heaven or any theology of heaven. I knew about heaven, obviously, but I didn't study that. That was not something that was in my mind. I was just there in the place. And then when I was in the place, it was the most beautiful music that I ever heard in my life, playing music that I like, music that, you know, God knows that I love and I like, playing. But it was better than anything that I heard. It's like a genre of music that is not even here, that is not even something that you find here, you know. I mean, it was like many things combined. And then at the same time, there was all these colors that were vivid and alive and bright that there were not like the colors here. They were alive, and plants and trees and grass and everything that smells. And so really have it like the way sometimes we have this idea of heaven, like we read the book of Revelation or whatever, or any, and we don't understand that really, really, really the thing about heaven is if you think about the Garden of Eden, and Eden means pleasure, and before the fall, things in the earth were exactly how they were in heaven before the fall. That's the same way how it is in heaven. Everything's about pleasure. It's about enjoyment. It's about your senses are enhanced. Meaning that when you're there, like you really smell, you really see, you really understand, you can really feel. But everything is intensified to the infinite power, if you want to call it. So what you feel, you feel it, you really, really feel it. What you see, you actually see it. What you experience, you actually experience. So it's like it's pleasure beyond your wildest dreams. That's what it was, you know, for me the first time that I was there. And then every other time that I've been there has been the same thing, you know, but every time it's different, you know. The first time that I went, I saw all these colors and all this music and all this art, and I love art. Like, I love art, I love music. God knows I love all that stuff. So it was a place just for me. It was just for me. It was something that, you know, a spot just for me, what I like. I'm pretty sure other people have these different experiences. They go, and maybe they go to a different spot, and they see things that they like. But God knew he knew exactly what I like, what I appreciate. So it was like enhanced. It was the most beautiful music, the most beautiful colors, the most beautiful art, trees, and there was like this flickering light, this light that was traveling so fast, and it was like going around, like it looked like Tinkerbell, you know, like Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. It looked like a fast Tinkerbell in the distance, and it was going really fast, and it was like dancing, doing trailing around and circling and stuff like that. And then I would see it, and then when I would blink, I would just go like that and blink. And every time I would blink, I would slow it down. When I would blink, I would slow down, and there was basically angels that they were like doing some sort of dance to the music, but they were flying dancing. And they were like flying dancing to the beat, to the music. And they were so fast, but when I would blink, I would be able to slow them down and see them. Mm. And it was all for me. That was a cool thing. Cause, like, I honestly just thought that it was just like this, okay, this is how it is. For many years, like, I just thought that, okay, this is the way it is, you know, but it was just, but as I grew, my understanding, I continued growing, I understood that God was doing things for me, you know, especially for me, you know, and the same way that he, you know, for me, he'll do it for you or for anybody, just really for, he knows what you like, you know, but people are different.
He designed you, man. Yeah.
He knows what you like, you know, and people have different experiences. People have different personalities. So maybe somebody else goes and they go to a different place and they have you know, different things that they like. Maybe they like buildings, and they go to a place where there's buildings. Maybe they like cars, a place where they have cars and vehicles. You know, God knows that I like art, and he knows that I like music. So that first time, that's what I saw, and the interaction that I had was with the environment. And then the other times that I've been there has been with angels, with Jesus, with different things. But that was the first time. I mean, if we talk about the other times, then I guess we're going to talk about the other times. But that was the first time. And it felt like the physical experience that I was having, it felt like I was having this physical experience that I described at the beginning of this interview. It felt like half an hour, but the experience of being in heaven, it felt like I was there for days. Days and days and days, you know.
Yeah, they say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Another thing I want to ask you was when you experienced this, and there's a lot of people. I know there's a few experiences. I've never got to go through the full thing like you did, but I've got to see in visions and stuff. Like spiritually, I was here, and spiritually, I went there somehow, and I could see things. But I don't know, heaven is unique. It's kind of unique in how heaven works. And I know there was a situation back many years ago when I went, I don't know what it was, but I know I went into like a white place, and it was white beings. I mean, everybody was white. It was like you saw these little cartoons with white beings everywhere. But anyway, they was leading me to this office. It was weird, and there was a desk, and there was a lady. It looked kind of like have you ever saw in a school office where there's a lady sitting behind the desk, and you got to talk to the lady behind the desk to sign up some papers? Okay.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that, and I was sat right in front of this lady sitting at this desk, and she was talking to me and said a few things, and a lot of things I didn't understand what she said, and she was explaining things to my soul, and before I knew it, I got up, and they put me back. And that was the most unique thing I ever experienced before. And she's telling me things not to do, things to do. And it was unique. And one of the other experiences I had was, like you was talking about, there was a heaven that was kind of designed for you. Mine was like a rainforest. I could work, and I could go to this rainforest, and I could see the waterfall coming down. It's like flowers stuff around this one waterfall. Now, I had experience here before in a vision where I saw lots of people standing in this pond, and they was all pure white. They was like they was in a trauma situation, like they was passed out. They was like, I'll say, like they was in a coma. It was like a bunch of people in this pond that was in a coma. And they was pale white, just sitting there in a coma. And I saw myself as one of those people in that pond in a coma. And I saw the Lord walk through the water. He touched me. I woke up, gave me a towel, walked me out of this pond. And I guess that was a symbol of awakening. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing here. But anyway, from then on, hey, go ahead.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah. But there's another situation where I kept on going to this same pond when I go spiritually, mentally there. And I remember I was there at that pond underneath that waterfall, and I was thinking of, I love kayaking. That's something I do. I like Hobie kayaks and all this stuff. But there's one great big kayak that I couldn't really afford. So all of a sudden, out of the sky, it popped out of the sky and landed right in the middle of that pond. Like, boom! The one that I couldn't afford, it was there in heaven waiting for me where I go fishing. There it was, floating around that pond, that big kayak I've been wanting. It's like a $3,000 pipe kayak. I was like, that's cool, man.
Stan, like I've never really talked in details about this subject before, like, on video or audio or anything like that. This is like the first time. I grew up experiencing these things, and I didn't have any Christian friends to talk about these things, you know. And my family was not really they were not awakened to God yet, you know.
Yeah.
So I just didn't feel like I could even talk to them about this either. So I spent many years without having anybody to talk to about this stuff. And so the first time that when I joined the church, when I was like 19 and a half, I was very excited. Like just I was extremely excited to finally have some Christian friends to talk to because I thought they would understand. And I just started blabbering and sharing a lot of my experiences with a lot of people. And it didn't really go how I thought it would go. You know, because the idea that they had about heaven was like it's a future thing, you know, it's not something that you experience now, or they were like, no, you didn't really experience that, or, you know, you made that up, or some that do believe that they were more interested in finding about angels, and what about the angels, what about this, you know, and I just felt like, at that time, I just felt like, yeah, okay, I'll talk to you about angels, but like, hey, Jesus was there. You know, and there were often people were there. So I just felt like, for me, like, angels are cool. Don't get me wrong. They're awesome. You know, but I just felt like the focus was, like, on either angels or this future thing that was going to happen. So, like, this is not a subject that I particularly teach on or talk on unless people ask me to, you know.
Yeah.
Because of that, I think there's a lot of ideas that people have that the heaven is a future thing. That it's something that happened. But heaven is right now. It's inside of you. It's inside of me. The whole universe is inside of you. You know, heaven is inside you. You can manifest it here. And it's not something that is heaven is not just a place. It's a person. Heaven is not just a place. It's not just a place that you go to. And it's not a place that is separate from the earth. It's like, this is stuff that I learned as I'm been growing with God. That heaven is here right now, in the inside of you and in the outside of you. But people are just not aware of it. You know, throughout the day, there's angels walking by you. There's different things. In the invisible realm is here. And heaven is here. You can manifest it here. It's in the outside of you and it's in the inside of you. But also, it's not only a person. It's not only a place. But it's also culture. It's also love and freedom. Meaning that, like, the culture in heaven, if you go, if you're there, if you're in the manifestation of what heaven is, the two prevalent things that you see there is love and freedom. Not just love and not just freedom, but love and freedom together. And love that is free, meaning that is unconditional, that is love that is, you don't have anything, you don't have to earn it, you don't have to do anything. It's unconditional free love equally to everybody. And then freedom that is loving, meaning that, you know, not the type of freedom that people, you know, people talk about, oh, freedom, freedom, and then it's like this fake freedom that people talk about, that it's like freedom and then you're free to be a jerk and hurt people and just be rude. No, freedom, true freedom is loving. True freedom is freedom that it sets people free, that it's freedom that as I'm free, I set other people free by being free. So, like, the freedom that the people are afraid of love, people want love. But sometimes people don't know what love really looks like. And people want freedom, but they don't know what freedom looks like. So when you're free, sometimes people get freaked out by your freedom, by how free you are. And it has nothing to do with sin or what you do, what you don't do. It's about freedom. You're free to love people. You're free to be yourself. You're free to be who God says you are. You're free to manifest the love and the power and the nature and the character of God. So heaven has everything to do with love and freedom. And it can be it's for here, it's for right now. It's something that you can manifest here right now. So before I used to have these ideas of going to heaven, and I go, and I used to think that it was a separate place that I was going, like a different realm, a different thing. But God showed me that in his mind, everything's one. In the mind of God, heaven and earth are one. Him and you and me are one. All of us were one. In his mind, there's oneness. The thing is that we see things sometimes in a divisive way, in a dual. Like, we have this dualism and this the mindset when you think, you know, in the natural mind. And so we think that it's like two different dimensions or two different. It's just basically a different. Like, you can experience the same thing in a different way. It's like maybe using a different instrument to experience something else. Like, you use your spirit to experience the invisible, you use your body to experience the physical, you use your soul to experience the emotions and the thoughts. So different instruments to experience something different, different things, different experiences, but it's all in the same place. It's not different places. It's not like, even though I went through that tunnel, and I went in, it was something that happened to me, and it had a lot to do with even ideas that I had. Because as I grew, I always used to think that God prepared that place for me, you know, and he did. But I thought it was something that God did for me, and I had nothing to do with it. That it was something that, okay, this place, God knows what I like. I had nothing to do with it. He just did it because he knows what I like. But then later on, he's been teaching me, no, we did this together, you with your imagination. We created it together. And it's true, because there's a lot of stuff that was there that I even imagined as a kid that was like, wow. Because your imagination is very, very powerful. Your imagination is connected to your spirit. Your imagination is connected to your mind and your spirit. It's the link between your mind and your spirit. So when you use your imagination for good, when you use your superpowers for good, you can create like God creates. We can create things like God creates things. You know, so like I think that, like, for me, like, the people have a limited idea of heaven, and have a limited idea of, like, waiting for heaven or waiting to die to get to heaven. And then dying becomes this way out to go to heaven. But in reality, you're supposed to experience it in life. Heaven has nothing to do with death. It has everything to do with life. I mean, there is no death, actually. You know, it's something that you translate from one state of experience to another state of experience. You translate. But people have ideas. We have all these ideas that have been passed down, even in Christianity, that are these popular ideas that nobody really challenges. Because, and we just continue repeating the same ideas, and a lot of those ideas, they're limiting, because God wants to see heaven manifested here right now. You know, there's people that they're being tormented right now. They're depressed. They want to commit suicide. They feel separated from God. They feel unloved. They feel rejected, and they're physically alive, but they're living a living hell in their minds. They're depressed. They're sick. They're in pain. They're living a living hell in their minds. And then there's somebody else like me, you know, or anybody else, you know, out there that is experiencing relationship with God, that I'm experiencing heaven here on earth. Like, I am, like, the joy that I feel, the peace that I feel, the love that I feel, the enjoyment, how I enjoy things, how I see God in everything. I see God in nature. I see God in people. I see God in music. I see God in movies. I see God in everything. I see God in everything and everyone. I see him, you know, and so it's not like I no longer ask, hey, take me here or translate me here. No, I'm experiencing heaven here right now. And this is something that is available to all of us, but we need to come out from the idea of this is going to happen later, or we have to wait for God to do this or for God to do that. We need to, like, really open up our hearts and our minds and be flexible to Holy Spirit that we may experience these things here right now. And not only experience it for ourselves, but share it. Because if I go to a place, you know, I can share heaven with other people. I can share experiences with other people. I can, if they're open, I can share this stuff with other people. If they're open, this stuff is not exclusive to anybody, and not even to any religion either. This is for everybody. This is for everybody who's open to God, you know, and the way that God manifests himself and the way that he expresses himself cannot be limit to even a person, meaning that, like, before I still only knew God as a person. I knew him as Jesus. And then when I met Holy Spirit, I mean, Holy Spirit was always, I always knew Holy Spirit, I always knew Jesus, but I'm just saying, like, it there's different things in interaction when you interact with, when you know God as Holy Spirit, when you know God as Jesus, when you know God as Father, there's different benefits that come from those type of relationships. You know, the Father brings identity, and you know, Jesus brings, you know, this inheritance. The Holy Spirit brings this power and this friendship and this fun things, that these fun manifestations that he does. And so, like, there's different aspects to meeting God in different ways. But then I started also meeting God as heaven. You know, I thought heaven was a place all my life. Even as I experienced heaven, I thought it was a place. And then God was like, no, this is me. This is me. I am heaven. You know, love is heaven. Like when you walk in love, that's heaven. When you experience love, when you experience real, real love and real, real freedom, that's heaven. The fact is that people are not experiencing real love and they're not experiencing real freedom, and that's why they're not experiencing heaven. But if they were awakened to love, awakened to the freedom that it's already there in God, it's already there, it's already a done deal. It's in the invisible. It's something that you have to believe, something you have to receive, something that you have to agree with, and you have to walk in. And as you walk in it, you begin to experience heaven here right now. You can talk to angels. You can see the colors. You can hear the music. You can see the invisible. You can do all these different things. But even if you don't get to, because honestly, like we made this super, we hype this thing so much like that, okay, there's this invisible realm and then everything here is not heaven. No, if you begin to enjoy things how they were supposed to be enjoyed in the first place, then that's heaven too. So like if for example, like if you begin to, for example, you like fruits, you like food. When you are free, you can really enjoy food the way you do, that you were meant to enjoy food, meaning that you are lower over food, meaning that food doesn't have power over you. You have power over food. So now when you eat food, it's for enjoyment and nourishment. And it's not, you know, it's not something that the food has power in you and you have to go on 20 diets because you're overweight and you have to go on and do all the different things and get plastic surgery because, you know, you cannot help yourself and food has power over you. No. When you're free, when you're awakened to how free you are in God and you begin to walk in that and you begin to walk in love, it affects, when you walk in love, it affects the way the food tastes. It affects the way to you how you interpret things in the earth, how things smell, how things look, how people look, how food tastes, how animals look, how nature looks. You begin to heaven and earth begin to merge, and they're already merged.
Yeah.
But you begin to experience heaven and earth, heaven in earth and earth in heaven, at the same time, yeah. And it's something that like. There's no teaching for this out there. There's not something that, you know, like I hardly ever talked about this. I never even talked about this stuff. I actually never really talked about this before, you know, but it's a reality, you know. And for me, like, for people who have to wait to die to experience this stuff, it's a shame. We don't want that. You know, God doesn't want that.
Yeah.
It's available right now.
It's kind of the same thing that Adam and Eve, you know, the very first creations, what they actually experienced when God made Eden. And what's so strange, the Holy Spirit was talking, me and the Holy Spirit was communicating, and he's kind of indicating that Eden still exists, that Eden wasn't really here. It's like in another dimension. And Eden could even be a part of heaven that we was actually pulled out of when, you know, when all heck broke loose. But,
we exist in both realms at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And the things that, like, in the mind of God is one thing. In the mind of God, there's no two realms. The only way that we can talk about it is, like, to, in order to describe something, because the things that we have, all these descriptions for things, we have a description for the soul, we have a description for the body, we have a description, all these descriptions and all these boxes that we have, all these things that we have common, we have, like, defined. And the things that when you define something, sometimes it's dangerous when you define something because God is unlimited. He cannot be measured. He cannot be defined, like, just by one thing, you know. Like, he used to tell me things like, son, my people think that I'm either black or white, but I'm actually a rainbow. I'm a rainbow. You know, I'm not just black and white. I'm a rainbow. I'm purple, and I'm blue, and I'm red. And I call those things the flavors of God. The same way that God has flavors, people have flavors. And so, and heaven has flavors, and things have flavors. So when we begin to define things, I believe that we need a brand new language, you know, in order to describe some of the things. Because in the language that we have, that we create, because we have to create it, because there's no language for this thing, it needs to be a language that it grows as we grow. Because as we're growing, it's had to expand. Because some of the definitions might have to grow as we grow. You know, so, like, we have to use different terminologies in order to better give an idea a picture, a concept of how God really is and how we really are. Because the same way that God is unlimited, so are we. So the more that you begin to know him, the more that you begin to know who you are, who you really, really, really are, and you begin to see that you are unlimited too, that you can create the same way that God can create, you can create. The same way that the things that God can do, you could do too. And it's not something that should take anybody by surprise, because Jesus talked about this stuff, but it's stuff that people don't really believe. People don't believe that we're sons of God. Like, you know, it's a big thing. You know, people are still operating in the wrong identity. You know, people believe that we're second-class sons of God, like meaning that we're sons of God, but we're not sons of God like Jesus is the son of God. And that is one of the worst mentalities that we can have. We are sons of God the same way that Jesus is son of God. And what Jesus can do, we could do too. And like in the mind of God, when God sees you and he sees me, he doesn't see you apart from him. He doesn't see me apart from him. He doesn't see us as two different, you know, you're here, I'm over there. No, he sees us as one. And so we don't have to go anywhere to experience anything, because everything that is out there to experience is actually inside you. The whole universe, Mars is inside you. The Pluto is inside you. The sun is inside you. The Milky Way.
I've heard of this stuff before.
No,
there's a lot of Christians that don't understand that, and it goes real deep, very deep. And I have learned that the universe exists inside of you. Part of you is a part of the universe exists inside of you. It's like you're a walking universe. I've heard that too. I mean, I could go deeper, but there's a lot of people that blow their minds. They wouldn't understand it. But
go ahead. Sorry. What you said?
It's kind of hardcore, but there's some people that can only understand so many things. I mean, it depends on how spiritual and how deep you get into things, some of those things.
Like,
because go ahead.
For me, I like to simplify, because I think that is easy. I think that all this stuff is easy, and I think like whatever you think in your whatever anybody thinks in their minds is how things are, even if they're wrong, even if they're false. So if people think that something is easy, then it's easy for them. If they think that it's difficult, then it's difficult for them. So, because according to however you think in your mind, that's how you are. That's how things are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, the best thing that we could do is align our thoughts to how God thinks. So, having the mind of Christ that we have, you know, we should use that mind. And so, in the mind of Christ, in the mind of God, he believes, everything's one. Everything's one. You know, so, like, we're one with nature. We're one with gravity. We're one with water. We're one with each other. We're one with God. We're one even with angels. We're one with heaven. We're one with earth. We're one. So, like, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, why are people not flying? Because people have no relationship with gravity. People have no relationship with the wind. Meaning, like, they're not aware of the wind. They don't think they're one with the wind. They don't think they're one with gravity. So they're not flying because, like, the wind is aware of them. Nature is aware of you, but you're not aware of nature. And so whatever you're not aware of, whatever you're not awakened to, you cannot relate to, you cannot enjoy. You cannot have a relationship, you cannot enjoy, you cannot interact with. So in order for people to interact with heaven, since this talk is about heaven, they need to awaken to the heaven that's inside of them already. You know, because we keep on looking outside for the answer, outside. You know, people are going to the moon, people are going now they're going to Mars. You know, man is going to Mars just because Mars is inside man. Man is going to the moon just because, you know, the moon is inside man. You know, that idea to go there, you know, because since they don't know how to go to the moon from the inside, they gotta go on the outside. Since they don't know how to connect with love that's inside of them, they're going to go looking, go all around all the places outside of them looking for love. But everything that we're looking in the outside of us is in the inside of us already. If we were just to connect, so for me, the way I see things is everything's relationship. Everything's relationship. For me, relationship with God, relationship with one another. The kingdom of God is all about relationship. It's all about love and freedom in relationship. So you can have relationship with nature. You can have relationship with God in nature, with God in music, with God in people, with God in animals, with God. You can have all these type of relationships. But if you have filters, if you have preconceived ideas, and you have already a set of a doctrine or some sort of like limit batches that you have already, you don't have a flexible mind, you don't have an open mind, an open heart, you cannot see God that's in front of you. You cannot see God in nature. You cannot see God in people. You cannot see God in animals. You cannot see God in gravity. You cannot see God in science. You cannot see God in history. You cannot see God in math. And that's what happens with people, really, mostly. They see God in one thing, but they don't see God in the other thing. And wherever you see God, that you can only relate to God in that area. But whatever area you don't see God, you cannot relate to him, you cannot enjoy him, and you are basically sleeping in that area. So this is, it's really, really important because, I don't want to just talk about my experiences going to heaven. Obviously, if that was the case, then I would just be talking about that. I want people to understand that heaven is inside them. They can experience that. And every time they're enjoying the life to the fullest, they're experiencing heaven. Every time you're enjoying your family, every time you're enjoying playing a game with God, watching a movie with the Lord, or just with your friend, or you're walking in love, or you're walking in kindness, you're walking in goodness, and you're experiencing this stuff to the fullness or the extent of the way you can experience. You're experiencing heaven. A slice of heaven here on earth, if you want to call it that. That's what you're experiencing. So there's a lot of people that don't think that there's this suffering mentality when it comes to the gospel, with this suffering mentality when it comes to, because we think we have to suffer in order to gain some sort of crown, gain some sort of reward. And so we praise suffering. We have made an idol of suffering and going through things and even persecution. We said if you're not being persecuted, then you're doing nothing or whatever. But that's not really, really, it's not something like Jesus said you'll have persecution. But that's not all you're going to have. Persecution, just because people don't understand and there's, opposition to heaven manifesting or, love manifesting, power manifesting, that's the persecution. That's it. The opposition, that's it. But that doesn't mean that's your life. That doesn't mean that God called you to suffer. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to enjoy things. Because what God showed me is that every time that you enjoy the things that were created for you, because things were created for you to enjoy. I mean, if you look at food, for example, why do we have so many food? Why do we have all type of foods? We have all type of desserts, all type of different type of foods. Why didn't we just have one? Well, why didn't we just have rice? Or beans. No, we have chocolate. Yeah. We got like all chicken and fish and all these different type of foods. Because and basically, why do they taste so good? And why do we have taste buds? Like in our tongues, we have like I don't know how many pores in our tongues, and our taste buds that we have, our sense of smell and enjoyment is crazy. Scientists don't even know how to explain it. How much, how the level of enjoyment that we can have on the earth. So God showed me that every time that I enjoy things the way that I'm supposed to enjoy them, unto him, meaning that, I do it, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying him in it, I'm enjoying the people that I'm with, I'm enjoying the thing, I'm giving God glory. I'm glorifying God. I'm making Papa happy. I have a daughter. Every time my daughter enjoys herself, sometimes I do things with my daughter that I don't necessarily, it's not necessarily my forte. We'll watch cartoons that she wants to watch, and we go to places she wants to go. And, hey, I love her, so I do those things, And but when I see her enjoying herself, I enjoy myself seeing her enjoy herself. So God showed me that, imagine the way that you are with your daughter. I am like that to the infinite power when I see one of my sons and my daughters enjoying themselves. And I think that people don't really enjoy life. I think that people don't enjoy life the way they're supposed to. And I think people are waiting for heaven to enjoy life when heaven is here right now inside of them. If they were just to tap into that, if they just awaken to that, they begin to really enjoy life, enjoy friendships, enjoy people, enjoy your son, your daughter, you know, even your job. You know, you can see God in your job and enjoy your job, and it's no longer a job. It becomes heaven, you know, and it becomes an enjoyment. Mm-hmm. It becomes hanging out with your dad. But it's the perspective that we're looking, the glass that we're looking through, the gargoyles that we're looking through, that is keeping people from seeing the reality of what's there. Because we've been programmed in our minds to see all this stuff, and we have been programmed to see things only according to the five senses and not go beyond that and look internally to God, to love, to heaven, to power, to goodness, to kindness, to meekness, to all these different things, peace and joy, all that stuff inside us, and then bring it out, like manifest it. And then when you start manifesting it, you can share it with anybody. You can share it with anybody. You can share it with anybody, and then people connect with you. They connect with the love in you. They connect the love in you with the love in them. Meaning that once they see it, because like I said at the beginning, people don't know what love, like what real love looks like. People don't know what real freedom looks like. Like, I think that if I were to just manifest how free I really am, it will freak some people out. I think some people will get freaked out. So this guy is either crazy or this guy, there's something wrong with this guy. You know, like you can't just be this free, you know. And so I just basically, you know, manifest, depending on who I'm with, I manifest accordingly to what they can handle, really. You know, and I talk about whatever they can handle, you know. And there's friends that know me and they see me and they know areas of me that other people don't know, and they see things and they know stories that other people never heard and things like that. So, but I understand that love sometimes freaks people out, but not because they don't want it or they don't have it, but because they've been programmed.
There's a lot of your friends that call you Manito, that you manifest metal everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend Coelho. Yeah, he manifests metal. I mean, every time he prays for people that have metal, like a metal, you know, in their knee or in their bones, or he prays for them, the metal disappears. You know, so that's a really neat thing. You know, like I have this. I know this. We're talking about heaven, but I have this series that I'm gonna be talking about soon, and I talk about. It's called Creator You. And you know, it might be really controversial. Some people might take it. Some people might like it, might not like it. You know, I think that whoever is open is going to love it. You know, but it talks about the power that we have, because we don't really understand the power that we have in our minds, in our souls, in our spirits, in our hearts, the power that we have to create. A lot of the stuff that happened in the earth is, it's not, we keep on blaming the devil, saying the devil, the demons. We are actually the ones creating stuff. We have the only beings that have creator power to create stuff, God and man. That's it. Nothing else. Angels can create like we can create. Demons can create like we. God and man can create. The only ones in the likeness and the image of God that can create are us. That's it. And we're one with God. So there's a lot of things that people have. People get like darkness will introduce an idea, a lie, and then the power of the mind and the heart of men creates the lie, or makes room for the lie.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But the lie itself, the idea itself, didn't come from men. Didn't come from a man. It came from darkness. But the power to create the thing comes from men. We are so powerful. It's not even funny. There's hurricanes that are happening. There's natural disasters that are happening in the earth that are caused by our consciousness, by our own minds. Things that are happening in the weather. Things that are happening with animals. Things that are happening with even sicknesses and stuff like that. That are happening that we created. And the same way that we have the power to create those things, we have the power to create heaven or to manifest heaven here on earth. But people are being deceived. And they're using their powers Not for good,
no
so
way.
For yeah.
No
yeah.
Way.
I mean this
yeah,
that, it can go really deep on this stuff.
Yeah, that kicks in other things, you know, demonic forces, they use the hints to control you. They put a hint in your mind. They don't really do it. They put a hint in your mind where you can manifest it yourself, but to a negative way. If you could learn...
It's just these ideas, you know. Like I have this... I was writing this book. I have this three books that I'm... You know, I have all these books that I'm writing, you know, one at a time, obviously, but they're already inside me that I just have to write them, and there's like a sequence to them. And I think I talked about it last time, you know, the first one was going to be about intimacy, then the second one was going to be an identity, and the third one was going to be an inheritance, the three eyes. And I had to separate them, the three, because it was too much information, too much revelation for just one book, so I had to make three different books. And I was writing the first one, intimacy, but I could not, every time I tried to write, I kept on going to my fourth book, which is called The Lie. The fourth book that I was planning on writing was called The Lie. And it's talking about, the lies that people, the universal lies that the whole world believes that are just lies. And because they believe those lies, they manifest those lies. But they're lies. And if people were just to awaken to the fact that they're lies and they awaken to the truth, then people begin to be intimate with God easily, manifest God easily, experience heaven easily. You know, so I kept on going back to that fourth book when I'm writing my first book. So I had to stop writing my first book and go and write The Lie. So right now, what I'm writing is The Lie, because it's like, you know, I cannot even talk about intimacy without first exposing the lie before. You cannot, if you're a constructor, a constructor, somebody who makes buildings, you have to destroy the crap and the lies and the wrong foundation before you can start and build something good, you know, on that place. So, like, I'm writing The Lie right now and talking about the lies that people believe that are keeping them from being intimate with God, from being intimate with, you know, with one another, having a relationship with one another, intimate relationship with one another, awakening to how one we are with God, awakening to how one we are with everything. And manifesting heaven, manifesting love, manifesting power, manifesting joy, manifesting all this goodness, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm writing this thing, man, and I can't wait till I get it, you know, this thing comes out, you know, because it's really,
that's
really,
awesome,
really,
man. That's awesome. Huh? We only got a minute and 37 seconds left, but that's awesome, man. I want to ask you one thing. Have you ever got to go to the throne of God? Have you got to see any of that?
I've been in this garden with Jesus. I've been like in cities with Jesus. I've been in something that looked like a kitchen, you know, with the Lord and other people, angels. You know, and even in the throne, yeah, you know, but it doesn't look like the throne in, you know, it just looked like couches, honestly. It was laid back, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I honestly think that the way the Bible is written has to do with the things that people were supposed to at that time. They couldn't talk about elevators because elevators were not invented yet, but they could talk about thrones because they knew what a throne looked like, because they knew Caesar had a throne and Herod had a throne and, you know, Solomon had a throne. So, you know, it could have been just a couch, but they called it a throne because that's the terminology that they had. So, like, you know, for me, like, I seen God in couches, you know. I seen Jesus so many different times, and every time I look at him, he looks different. He looks like a Chinese guy one time. He looked like a black guy one time. A white guy one time, and he just wanted to, like, keep me on my toes, you know, like, you know, don't get, like, don't, and the one time I said, show me, I want to see you, and then he showed me a replica of myself, and I saw, like, another Raphael next to me, like, and here I am, and it was me, and I freaked out, because I was, like, looking for Jesus, and he showed me, you know, because me and him are one, and you and him are one, and we and him are one, you know,
that's
and so
weird.
I don't know.
That's I understand what you're saying because, you know, when I've talked to God before, I don't talk to him like I used to. I don't hear back like I used to. Only when I do my shows here lately, he let me know something. But he would always talk about, I'm you. And that's the hardest thing to understand. And my thing is, I have a unity background, and I was taught a lot of that type of stuff. And, you know, I went back to full Christianity. But it helped me understand a few things that a lot of people don't understand. But it's awesome when you see the full spectrum of God and where he is. And, you know, when you're talking about you saw Jesus in many different forms, it even talks about, you know, after he rose again from the dead, that they would see that the disciples would see Jesus in many places, but he never did look the same.
Didn't I know that it was him? Yeah.
He never did look the same. And it actually says that in the Bible. And, you know, and then he's talking about the kingdom inside. You know, they said in the Bible, they asked the Lord, they said, where is your kingdom? Because he was up there being tried. He's like, where is your kingdom? He says, my kingdom ain't here. And he also said, you can't say here it is or there it is. So, you know, you can't say it's upstairs. So the kingdom is amongst us, but it's not in this realm. That's his kingdom. So he says, you can't say here it is or there it is. It ain't a place you can point to. So that has a lot of open doors when he said that. Because, you know, back in the biblical times, they're thinking he's going to be the king of Israel. He's going to take this land. He's going to take everything from the hierarchies. And he was going to be the king of it all, but he did not talk about that. That wasn't the king he was talking about. He was talking about being a king of your heart, living inside of you, living inside of you and creating the heaven inside of you, not trying to, you know, raise Hades here on earth and trying to take over everything. That wasn't what he was about. He was about love. Not about ruling and human business. He wasn't about human business. He's about God's business. But that's one thing he was about. But we're actually completely out of time. We're just running on extra time. I'm not sure whether all this is being recorded, but it's awesome.
We love you, everybody. We love you. God bless you. Experience heaven. Experience heaven. And, you know, keep on listening.
Amen.
We'll do this again, right?
Amen. And I actually think this will be recorded because I did this before and ran a little over, and it was still recorded, so it's probably still being recorded to a point. But, you know, everybody's listening to me. You know, listen to us. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Raphael, for coming on the show. We'll have you again. I might have a heaven part two, man. We might talk about some more stuff. But, yeah, we'd be sitting here for a couple of days talking about this stuff, but it's awesome to talk about these deep subjects because there's a lot of Christians out there that is ready for some of this stuff, that's actually ready to get in this stuff, and there's some Christians that's just awakening to God and awakening just to the scriptures, and that's all they need at this time.
Well,
and,
there's people that don't classify themselves as Christians and are ready for this stuff. You know, they don't necessarily, you know, define themselves as a Christian or maybe any religion or maybe some other religion, and they're ready for this stuff because it's not like this stuff is not exclusive to any person. It's for humanity. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's for the whole everybody.
Yeah, but without Christ, he's the only way. So, you know, they got to go through his way. But you know, that's one door you've got to go through. But, you know, when you go through that door, you experience the universe. You get to understand all of God's secrets when you go through his doorway. But it's just my wife's looking in wondering when I was going to get done here. But anyway... You know, there's many things here, and, you know, Christ is expanded. I mean, he's everywhere, and, you know, we're actually trying to find God, and God is like, I'm right here. Where are you trying to find me? You know, I'm right here with you. I'm in you. I'm everywhere, so, you know, it ain't too hard to find. But it's amazing how we can find Christ. It's amazing Christ is with us. It's amazing what Christ can do for you. And if you want to experience Christ, you know, just ask him into your life. And he will actually transform your life, and you'll get to experience all this stuff. But then again, Raphael, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and we'll talk some other time, man.
Man, thank you for having me, and I had a lot of fun, bro. Love you.
Yeah,
God, I love everybody listening. Love you. God bless you.
Yeah. God bless you too, man.
All right, Papa.